Good evening and welcome to the NAGB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, your host for this evening, and we are here to catch up with an artist who's been on the show several years ago and has been away for a long time, so it's part of our like Bahamians abroad, and just to catch up and see what she's doing. So we welcome back to the Blank Canvas after many years, Giovanna Swapey.
Thank you. Super excited to be here.
So excited to have you back on the show. I just can't believe like how long it's been that we haven't seen each other. I think we saw each other really briefly, like maybe 2-3 years ago. And you've just had like a career explosion since then. But before we get to that part, I'd really just like the audience to like know what you've been up to. And, you know, you went off for a while. You were on the West Coast of Canada, just kind of like getting on with life. So just tell us a little bit about, you know, what you were doing, getting your degree, what that experience was like for you. Just so you know, some like younger artists here might know what to expect.
Oh, sure. So I finished my associates at COB, now UB. That was in 2012. And I took a few years off just to kind of like, regroup and then also be able to start saving money toward getting my bachelor's. I ended up in Vancouver at Emily Carr University, where I was able to like, that was about 2.5 years to, with my transfer credits to finish up my bachelor's there. I studied film, video, and integrated media, which is quite different than what I'm doing now in a lot of ways, but also it informs my practice a lot still. So that experience was, I think it was an excellent experience. I kind of recruited a bunch of people to come with me. So I was there with my partner, Steven Schmidt. And then also the following year or the following term, Veronica Dorset and Kayshell Knowles was also studying at the same time.
I didn't actually realize you were all up there together. Oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
We formed like a little Bahamian alliance. This was like my mastermind. I was like, how do I get my friends to live in the same place as me? It was really nice. It was nice to have that community and to just have like a little like space that felt like home. So that was good. There were lots of ups and downs. It was a tough experience getting through, like, because I was almost totally, we were all pretty much almost totally self-funded for that degree. So wasn't, it was a tough experience sometimes, but definitely worth it.
Did you have to actually work while you were studying as well? Was that part
of it?
No, I'm sure. A lot of people do. So is that like, what kind of tips would you give like a young Bahamian artist? Like what was the hardest part? What was the easiest part? Like what were things that you wish you would have known? Like if someone would have sat you down and been like, Gio, before you go, you know, take long underwear or whatever. Like,
I actually got too many. It was like too much tips for the cold and not anything else, because Vancouver isn't really that. It was a shock, but it wasn't really that cold. But I guess I wish I knew some things I kind of stumbled into that I could have planned for. Was studying in Canada is a lot cheaper than in the US. So that's how I ended up there. And you can also work while you're there, which is totally different than the States. It's a lot easier. You can work like, I think it's up to 20 hours a week, any place that you want. It doesn't have to be on campus.
That's why my kids are in Canada.
Yeah.
It is significantly, I mean, it's still not cheap by any means, but it's significantly cheaper than American education. Mm-hmm. And again, it is a lot more, but I think, and part of that might be because we're Commonwealth, like there's a little bit more flexibility with coming and going and stuff like that. So it is kind of like easier from that perspective.
Yeah, certainly. And, I definitely don't subscribe to any belief of like going broke to get to school. It's not in the long run to me, it's not really worth it, because with any kind of school really, and with art school, you have to kind of want to be able to do that experience as like a personal growth to be able to learn and expand your practice, but it doesn't necessarily always equate to an immediate opportunity right after. Like, that's something that you have to build and kind of create for yourself a lot of times. So I'm not of the belief of like you have to go to a certain school in order to get like to advance your practice or anything. It's really so much of what you put into the program and what like the effort that you put in, what you want to bring to it. So
yeah, and kind of what you do with the time, really, isn't it? And I think, I mean, in a way, it's interesting because I think the same can be said for a lot of university experiences, really, in any. You know, people think, well, like if I go to X, Y, or Z university, then I'm going to be guaranteed this kind of level of success. And it's not the case. Like very often what you bring to the table is equally important to like what the space can give you. And if you if you go to Yale and you just like, you know, go to frat parties every night and get drunk, that doesn't mean or even do well. It doesn't still necessarily mean, you know, if you just study and you don't do the other things, which I think, you know, are required to be successful, which is, you know, network, get out there, like invest in yourself, like keep learning, you know, all the things. So I think it's kind of interesting that you said that, because I do think we get hung up on names of like, oh, I have to go to X, Y school because, and it's like really just wherever you go, make the most of that time and bring as much of yourself to the opportunity. So,
yeah, I definitely agree with that. And also, I would say that I guess the last thing about school is to be sure you don't separate it too much from your professional practice. Like it's all like this, it's all like a kind of cyclical relationship between these things. It's important to know that they inform one another and not to try to keep them too separate to like kind of contribute to an overall holistic growth of your practice and of yourself as a person. So I would say to be sure to still maintain, like, make sure that your work is going into shows and to maintain that professional part of your practice, because you kind of, it's easy to kind of like fall off of the map. And it's unfortunate, but people do like, people can like forget about you if you are not, you know, keeping yourself fresh in their memories. So it's important to maintain that part of it too.
Yeah, it's true. And I remember, I mean, that whole time you were away, you were still submitting to national exhibitions and you were still coming home and kind of, even though you were far away, I felt like, you know, before there was a pandemic and we still kind of like saw you every year and, you know, you kind of were very present on the scene, which I think was great. And so what happened after you graduated? So you graduated from there with a BA, is that right?
Yeah, BFA with Bachelor of Fine Arts. Yeah, so I finished that and took another, I think that was like 5 years in between. And I was still kind of developing my professional practice, entering in shows, working a regular job at the same time. That's another thing too. I would say there's no, I don't think we should hold any shame around that, having to, if you're what you consider your day job or your full-time job or is not directly related to art, that doesn't mean that your art becomes a hobby. It's how you position it in your life. So I am not of the belief that you have failed if you're not working full-time in the arts, because that just happened for me a couple of months ago. So
yeah, no, definitely. It's all like, it's so great that you're saying all these things, Gio, because I think it's really, I think in any way, like there's so much shame tied up to even certain kinds of jobs. It's like, you know what? I tell people I used to wait tables and people are like, oh my God, you used to wait tables. And I'm like, sure. Like, didn't everybody wait tables when they were in college? Like, you know, and that doesn't mean that, again, like I think any kind of work, it doesn't have to be in what you're doing. And even, you know, just make time for the thing you believe in is, I guess, the thing that I would say is the most important, right? To not lose track of like what you're doing that job for. And that can be the hardest part, I think. That can be the hardest part is that you get so tired and you get so caught up in, again, what you have to do to survive, that you sometimes can lose track of like what you were doing it for.
Yeah. And absolutely. I'm not trying, I don't want to be the person that pushes like this rhetoric of you have to work 50,000 hours a day in order to be successful, because you can burn out like that. So for me, I guess it was important to try to figure out the balance, like try to figure out how I could work to kind of make a living for myself and then also maintain my visual practice at the same time.
And also I think what's really interesting is that sometimes you learn skills at other jobs that you didn't even know you needed. So like, you know, when I left college, I was an art historian. So an art historian doesn't know a whole lot about air conditioning systems or about scheduling stuff or about like lots of things that eventually I had to do as the director of a major space. But I learned those things and like, you know, being a waitress, I learned how to like schedule the time for the, because, you know, I was the manager at the restaurant eventually. And so I learned how to, you know, do staff schedules. So again, you actually learn things that can really be useful in whatever career you go to. The reason I went off camera right now, because Gio and I are taping this, but we can see each other, is that I wanted to find an Instagram post from an artist I really admire. He's called Basil Kincaid. And I love him. And I just follow him on Instagram, but he posted this thing one time and I thought it was so awesome. And it said, if you want to be a full-time artist, go to your normal job, work twice as hard, doing every task with extra vigor, patience, and attention to detail. Be present. And go as hard as you can. Then when you get home, put 6 focused hours in the studio with even more enthusiasm because you've been waiting all day to get to the studio. Then after that, practice writing about your art for at least an hour. Draft statements, apply for fellowships, look at artist CVs and see what opportunities they got. Apply for that stuff even though you're not actually ready to win it. You're just training. When you get up the next day, start by reading the words of an artist. And it sort of goes on like things you can do. And he goes, now, if you can't do this, then enjoy your art as a hobby and be happy about it. If you can do this, you'll eventually work your way out of that day job, but you need that training because the administration side of your practice will replace the day job and you will have to bust your buttons dealing with the service side of the practice. There's no way around diligent work. And eventually you can hire someone or get a gallery to help you do all that. But if you want to be a full-time artist because you think it will be less work, you're woefully misguided.
So I have a couple of things to say about this. First thing I'd like to say about the skills part. Oh my gosh. What, like, for me, I did a lot of like office work and my Excel skills are now like, I don't want to say they're, you know, top tier, but pretty good.
Which is so good for like keeping lists of your work and keeping track of stuff. It's important.
Yeah. Excel is like, I use that the most of anything because it's such a bit, you can do anything with that. Like it's great for tracking. Okay. Yeah. And the second part of that, I saw Basil's post and I actually took some like I felt I agreed with some parts of it, but some parts like, I don't think that that's necessarily possible.
I think when you add up the hours he's talking about, I think maybe he was exaggerating a little bit because you can't work an 8-hour day and then work 6 hours in the studio and
or,
do an hour
or a lot.
But I think his point was, first of all, when you go to your day job, don't treat it like something you don't want to be at. Like there's something you can learn from that. And in a way I took from that, like, don't be ashamed of it. Like use it as a way to build other skills. And then when you do have time, dedicate yourself to your practice. That's kind of what I took from it. And like, don't forget the things you have to do to be a successful artist. Because again, it's not a walk in the park. It's not not hard work. I think some people do think we're all sitting around like drinking cocktails and, you know, like paint, you know, sip and paint. They think, Gio, your life is a sip and paint.
No, I don't even sip anymore because I have acid reflux. So there you go.
There you go. Anyway, listen, with that, we're going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to hear more from Giovanna Gio Swaby, who has a Bahamian artist who's been away for a while and she's still living up in Canada, but doing really awesome things in her career. We're going to hear more about, you know, again, her journey to where she is today and how she got there. And hopefully that will like be interesting for some other people who are thinking about taking that same road. You are listening to the MAGB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Colson, I'm your host for this evening, and we're going to be right back after this short break.